Un jour.
19 artists have contributed artworks to the upcoming exhibition In Search of Expo 67. And today is the first of several episodes in which we get a chance to get behind the scenes with the artists and hear about the artists' research and creation processes. As a whole, the artists in the show have journeyed into the fragmented archives, images, and stories of Expo 67 to imaginatively create lively and often spectacular artworks that resonate with past, present, and future all at once. My name is Monica Kingangyo, and today we talk with artist Cheryl Sim about her multi-screen music video, Un Jour, Un Jour, which she has created for In Search of Expo 67. Cheryl's recent artworks include La Cabine d'Essayage, The Fitting Room, in 2014, an installation that explored the traditional Chinese dress, the Cheng Sam, and reflects her interest in costume and performance that she brings to this new work, which embodies the Expo 67 hostess. 2 years ago in 2015, Cheryl created the Thomas Wang Project, a media installation and profoundly moving live performance in which she sang. She drew from her family's personal history and archives, a creative source that we'll hear about again today, albeit the more joyous event of her parents' honeymoon in Montreal. At the heart of Cheryl's music video is the personal scrapbook that her father lovingly assembled as a memento of her parents' honeymoon to Montreal and Expo 67 50 years ago.
My name is Cheryl Sim. I'm an artist, media artist and musician and researcher. And I'm also the managing director and curator at DHC Art Foundation for Contemporary Art here in Montreal.
Can you describe for me, tell me a little bit about the artwork that you're moving towards completing?
A lot of my work in single channel video has been invested with really kind of questions around structures of power and voice. When I was invited to make a piece, I was wondering how the discourses of Expo 67 might have manifested themselves in music, and discovered the official Expo 67 theme song called Un Jour, Un Jour, in the French version, and Hey Friend, Say Friend in the English version, and it was written by Stéphane Venn. Has a really interesting history, a little bit of controversy as well, but moreover, it's a song about hope. It's a song that really captures the spirit, the entanglements of the future and modernism and optimism. And I thought, what would it do to remake this song? And so essentially it's a music video where I also play a lot with the uniform.
Yeah, can you tell me about how you updated the hostess uniform? In much of your recent works, you've brought in your own body, the performing body, which is also costumed. So you're very interested in period fashion and the cultural specificity also of different types of fashion.
Oh, yes. Gender and fashion are fascinating lenses to look at all of this through. And I looked at the official Expo hostess out uniform, which was designed by Michel Robichaud, who had revamped all the Air Canada flight attendant uniforms, and then was invited by the mayor to do those uniforms, and I think the uniforms for 10 other pavilions at Expo. And so he had designed this skirt and jacket ensemble in a kind of blue, medium, pale blue, with a little collarless kind of a band-collared, sleeveless white blouse. And the skirt, by today's standards, wouldn't be considered a miniskirt, but it was above the knee. And so, you know, really played on style. But, you know, the sex appeal with authority, that was sort of the
stylish.
The idea.
Yes. And slightly racy.
Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, because, I mean, these women were fulfilling a very specific role. They had these tricolored beanies, which apparently were not necessarily emulating street fashion, 60s street fashion at the time, which is what Robichaud had in mind. They were actually meant to be hats that you could easily spot in a crowd. So if you needed information about something, you wanted to get directions, you'd say, there's an official hostess. There's the beanie. Go towards the beanie.
Right.
So it seemed important to maintain the beanie in my updated version of the uniform. But then I wanted to bring that sort of skirt, jacket ensemble, and just all the little details, the three-quarter sleeves, the band collar, the collarless jacket, into a dialogue with the other sort of quintessential garment of the future at that time, which was the jumpsuit. It's like the jumpsuit was sort of this democratic uniform that was going to neutralize gender, race, and class in the future. So I made a jumpsuit using that's the same material, was a kind of polyester blend, same color, but, you know, it was one zipper. I had a band collar white shirt as well underneath, three-quarter sleeves. They had the little upholstered buttons, and white gloves and the beanie. And I thought that might be an interesting way to kind of examine the slippages of time, sort of past, present, and future. Being a woman of color, Filipino and Chinese heritage, born in Canada, there's a lot of baggage that's wrapped up in that in the bodies, in the package of the body. So to put on the uniform and to move to, you know, sort of use myself as the subject, it's my voice as well, sort of singing the song, is a kind of critical gesture as well.
Largest World's Fair ever, Expo 67, the International Twin Island Wonderland, is ready for its gala opening ceremonies.
So you went on site to record the music video, and so you were in full costume and were there with a boombox.
Yeah.
And also you had your scrapbook, which we'll talk about in a moment. But did you attract attention when you were out on site?
Yes, I mean... it was a beautiful November Sunday afternoon. It was probably the last fantastically bright day before the winter started to set in. And so it was just Michael Weiss and I, a cinematographer, walking around the site, choosing setups. And we probably encountered most people in front of the Buckminster Fuller Ball. And definitely there was, you know, some inquisitive slowing down of the pace going by. I mean, what is going on? It looks interesting.
You've commented before on the role of the hostess at Expo 67 and a way of highlighting the contribution that women made to Expo 67 more generally as hostesses, but also in terms of hospitality and in relation to the politics of gender, the way that Expo 67 is remembered in the mainstream, often isolates women's exclusion in some ways other than in terms of the spectacle of their hospitality. Is there anything you'd want to add to
that? Yeah. Yes, you know, the whole man in his world theme is really interesting to think about now when looking at how women were instrumentalized in an important way, sort of as soft power, get people into the ideas, but in a non-threatening way. Like I said about the uniform, it was commanding yet also very appealing. I'll talk a lot about this sort of strategy I use in the work, in, you know, a lot of my work called politicized sensuousness. And it feel like that was being worked on in this way too. And women always find ways to subvert power in ways that people don't even know about until later. And I feel like that might have been going on as well here. The search for the official hostesses is apparently quite rigorous. It was sort of a nationwide search, and there was a very specific list of criteria that women had to adhere to even qualify for an interview. They had to be single. They had to be between 20 and 35 years of age. All of this sort of packaging was very important, but they also had to have substance. So people are drawn to, you know, this host of attractive women, but then are also introduced to a lot of interesting historical, geographical facts about Canada, as well as knowledge, sort of basic knowledge about the site and what Expo 67 was all about. And so it was a kind of quiet subversion that was offering women an opportunity to have a voice. My parents were married on September 2nd, 1967, and decided to spend part of their honeymoon at Expo. And so they got in the car and they did a three-city tour starting in Ottawa. They were in Hamilton, so they went to Ottawa and then Montreal for a bit and then went on to Quebec City. Expo was definitely the highlight of their honeymoon because of the scrapbook that my father so lovingly put together to document that trip. Expo has definitely the majority, you know, of all of this, of all of his documentation. I mean, it's packed full of photographs of my mother in front of different pavilions, side by side with postcards of the exact same pavilion, and then pasted side by side with other bits of ephemera, maps, and other little, I don't know, bills and things.
Wedding cards.
Yeah, and interspersing the wedding cards all in there. So I thought this is a really interesting document to communicate through as I wanted to get have some kind of connection, you know, with Expo 67. So the scrapbook, which I probably found when I was a kid, in elementary school, took on this mythical status. It was prehistory. It was before myself and my sister. Mm-hmm. It was them at another time, you know, in their 20s. And the all of these, this idea of promise and optimism and excitement for the future is embodied, is sort of reflected in their, this documentation, in the photographs of my mother and her face, and sort of underscores sort of the whole mood of the time. And so I thought I should try and use the scrapbook within the work as well, and use it as the vehicle through which this character in the music video tries to grasp some understanding of what that time was like.
Thinking back 50 years, has that much changed in this time period? Have we in fact gone in a circular direction with a bit more of a kind of sanitized window dressing going on?
Yes. Throughout the whole process of making this project, I was quite taken by how there was a real slippage in time where past, present, and future were constantly overlapping. Everything from the jumpsuit, which is throwback also in terms of like a kind of fashion moment that has been taken up by science fiction, but still seems like a retro idea. And then trying to bring that into the present, you know, this sort of future idea, which isn't future anymore. All of that, you know, sort of that kind of sensation got me thinking a lot about the question of progress and exactly how far have we come. And that intersects with the song itself. Un jour was really like a kind of call, like a rallying call, like everybody's invited. Please, one day you're going to come down to Montreal. We're going to party together on this island. We're going to, you know, hold hands and, you know, and celebrate. What it signaled to me was there was an idealism at that time in terms of progress. Now, to me, it talks more about the incredible need for us to stay hopeful and to work towards maintaining that hope.
When you were first asked to think about Expo 67, is that the first thing that came to you, was the idea that you would perform a song?
You know, it wasn't the first thing. There's so much. I mean, the Expo 67 is incredibly rich terrain to play in. It was, you know, after a little digging, you know, the my parents' photo album being the first place to start thinking, to start sort of placing my imagination had to start there. And then eventually, because music is so important to any project, whether it's nation building or promotion of a city, music is a powerful element. Stefan Venn heard through the grapevine. He had a friend of a friend who found out that he had won the contest. The official theme song was actually found through a contest.
Wow.
Contest brought in over 2,000 entries from all over the world. So you're more like 35 countries.
Wow,
people
really?
Tried to, yes, submitted their song for Expo. And he was still pretty unknown. He was like in his early 20s. But when he found out that he won, and he submitted his song like at the last minute, sort of it was like 5 o'clock on Friday. It was 4:58. He just slipped it under the door kind of thing. And it was a score. That's how, you know, it was then. And it wasn't being serviced at the radio stations, apparently, worldwide. There's an article about how that seemed to not be happening, like they weren't pushing it. But my theory is they weren't pushing it because Jean Drapeau didn't like it. Hmm. Because it, in the lyrics, it didn't mention Expo or Montreal.
Right.
So a new version was commissioned with Michel Richard singing it, and Expo in Montreal being mentioned at the very end.
Sort additional of in, lyrics.
Yes, exactly. Sort of a vocalizing, you know, Expo Montréal kind of thing. Like really, you know, a real commercial. I decided to work with the French version because, like, the sound of words and the lyrics themselves were much more in keeping with the tone and the mood I had in mind. The English version, so different lyrically. It was really more about telling people, you know, and kind of interpolating people. You know, it's like, hey, I'm a friend, you're a friend. Let's get together and go to Expo. But Un Jour was more poetic. And it had another kind of another level of reflection on what this could all be.
You just sang a little bit.
Oh,
can you sing us a little bit of the song?
Un jour, quand tu viendras, nous t'en ferons voir des grands espaces. And I can't remember the next line, but it's sort of that kind of a beautiful little melodic line that really stays in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I rearranged it a little bit so that un jour, becomes this sort of like beacon of hope, I guess. And that's how it comes across in the final version.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wow. Can't wait to hear it.
Thanks.
And see it.
Thank you, Monica.
And that's our episode for today. Join me next week when we travel down memory lane with people who were at Expo 67.
This podcast was created and produced by the Thinking Out Loud team at Concordia University. It previews the upcoming exhibition at the Musée d'Art Contemporain de Montréal. Opening June 21st, In Search of Expo 67 will offer visitors new perspectives on some of the most innovative and experimental aspects of the Montreal World's Fair. The exhibition is made possible in part by funding from Concordia's Faculty of Fine Arts and its Office of the Vice President of Research and Graduate Studies. For more Thinking Out Loud, check out our website, concordia.ca/TOL.